Welcome to Quick Brain, bite-sized brain hacks for busy people who want to learn faster and achieve more. I'm your coach, Jim Quick.
Free your mind.
Let's imagine if we could access 100% of our brain's capacity.
I wasn't high, wasn't wired, just clear. I knew what I needed to do and how to do it.
I know Kung Fu.
Show me.
Welcome back, Quick Brains. I am your host and your brain coach, Jim Quick. The reasons behind mental illness still remain one of the most complex fields of study. My guest today is Dr. Christopher Palmer, and he is the best-selling author of Brain Energy. This is a revolutionary breakthrough in understanding mental health and improving treatment for anxiety, depression, OCD, PTSD, and more. And just remember, this podcast is not intended, just like with all our shows, it's not intended to diagnose or treat any disease. Just make sure you consult your health practitioner. So saying this to protect all of you, protect us, and just be smart about this, everybody. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim, for inviting me.
Before we get into it, maybe you could share just a minute or two what inspired you to explore the relationship between a diet, metabolic health, mental health, and how has your perspective on this kind of treatment evolved over time?
So as a day job, I work in a tertiary care psychiatric hospital. I treat people with horrible, chronic, lifelong, debilitating mental health conditions, all the way from depression, anxiety, PTSD, schizophrenia. When I started my training, if somebody had said diet might play a role in mental health, I would have kind of laughed at them and said, no way, you don't understand mental health. You don't understand the brain disorders that I'm working with. These people's lives are ruined. And so my interest in this work and my passion for this work really started through serendipity and just really astute observation. It, you know, probably the most poignant case was a patient of mine who suffered from something called schizoaffective disorder, a cross between schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. He'd been my patient for 8 years, had tried 17 medications, nothing was stopping his hallucinations, his delusions. He was chronically impaired, but asked for my help to lose weight. For a variety of reasons, we decided to try the ketogenic diet. We tried the ketogenic diet. Within a couple weeks, he starts losing weight. I start to notice dramatic improvement in his mood and energy. And within about 2 or 3 months, he spontaneously starts telling me his longstanding hallucinations and delusions are beginning to recede. That man was able to go on to lose 160 pounds, has kept it off to this day, but much more importantly, was able to do things he hadn't been able to do since the time of his diagnosis. And initially, that just shocked me. I literally was just shocked and dumbfounded and in disbelief. But that sent me on a journey to understand the science of what may have just happened to him. I've been using this now in dozens of patients. Clinical trials are actually already underway around the world. And this field is exploding.
You know, your research has led you to findings which demonstrate that mental disorders are a lot metabolic disorders of the brain. So maybe we could discuss the known contributing factors to mental illness. I mean, we're thinking about like genetics, inflammation, neurotransmitters, hormones. Our audience is pretty sophisticated, or even more elusive things like heartbreak or finding purpose in life. How can these things be tied to the effects of metabolism and our mitochondria?
Yeah. So, you know, your audience probably knows. If you ask the leading psychiatrist and neuroscientist what exactly causes mental illness, like the mental disorders that cause people's brains to malfunction, that torment people with symptoms like panic attacks or psychosis or unrelenting depression or OCD, or even some of the milder ones, like just a heartbreak that you can't get over. Everybody has heartbreak. If you don't have heartbreak, you didn't really love the person. But if you have heartbreak and you just can't get over it, and we've all had friends or family members that just can't get over it months or years later, like what is different about them? What is going on? If you ask the leading people, what exactly causes all of that? They'll say, oh, it's just too complicated. Nobody can figure it out. And as you said, there are many factors that we do know play a role. And we usually talk about them as biopsychosocial. We talk about neurotransmitters, hormones, genetics, but we also talk about inflammation, the gut microbiome, and the gut-brain connection. But we also talk about trauma, stress, loneliness, and how do all those things fit together? And up until now, we really haven't been able to answer that question. And what I am proposing in Brain Energy is that we can actually connect all of those things, but we have to connect them through this big picture called metabolism. And that if we understand how all of those things fit together through metabolic pathways, and more specifically through pathways related to these tiny things in our cells called mitochondria, that we can actually begin to not only understand how mental illness works. So why do some people develop mental illness and why do other people not develop mental illness if they are exposed to the same trauma, for instance? But also, we can begin to identify new treatment strategies. And those new treatment strategies are going to focus more broadly, not just on mental health. So we're still going to use a lot of the same treatments that we use today because those treatments can be highly effective for some people. So some people can use antidepressants and do great. Other people can use stimulants for their ADHD and do great on those. Some people can be on a mood stabilizer for their bipolar disorder and it works well. I'm not at all trying to take any of that away. And if somebody's benefiting from psychotherapy, I don't want to interfere with that either. But unfortunately, tragically, there are tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of people who aren't getting better with current treatments. And what I'm here to say is that we have an entirely new range of treatment strategies that we can begin to think about offering these people. And they include things like dietary strategies, but also other metabolic enhancing treatments.
So whether I'm talking to the audience here, whether they've been following our work for 3 days or 30 years, we've always talked about how brain health leads to better mental health, right? And you mentioned the efficacy of like even diet, that what you eat matters, especially for your gray matter. So maybe we can unpack that a little bit. How effective have you seen dietary interventions in managing or even reversing psychiatric conditions? Is it kind of one size fits all, or how's your approach on that?
I think the most important message that I really want people to hear is there is not a one size fits all diet. So some people can actually have metabolic brain problems that result in mental health symptoms because they are overweight or obese. But other people can actually have metabolic brain symptoms that result in mental health conditions because they are actually underweight, severely underweight, malnourished, say somebody with anorexia nervosa, or somebody with really crippling depression who has lost a tremendous amount of weight. Now, obviously, those two people need very different dietary strategies. Some of those people need to gain a lot of weight, and other people might need to lose weight. And I just want to highlight that one or those two examples of how dietary interventions can sometimes have polar opposite goals. But dietary strategies, in addition to helping people lose weight or gain weight when needed, dietary strategies can sometimes help people identify sensitivities or allergies to certain foods. So somebody with celiac disease, for instance, might be highly sensitive to gluten. And going on a gluten-free diet could be a game changer for their brain. In addition to their digestive tract, other people might be deficient in nutrients like vitamin B12, and figuring that out and getting appropriate B12 supplementation, whether it's through food or vitamins, can be a game changer. But there are dietary strategies like low-carb diets, Mediterranean diet, ketogenic diets, and others that can help people broadly improve metabolic health. And when we improve metabolic health, when we improve insulin signaling, when we get people to healthy, sustainable weights, when we improve hormone levels, and so it's really, sometimes it is a general health and wellness fitness diet that a fit body can result in a fit brain, which can result in improved mental health. And I just want to say for the record, although this sounds like generic health and wellness advice that you've probably heard a million times and that you're probably thinking, well, duh, of course that works. I'm also helping people recover using specialized strategies for these people. So there's no one size fits all. But I am helping people recover from bipolar disorder and schizophrenia and chronic unrelenting depression. I am still treating the sickest of the sick patients at a tertiary care hospital, and I'm helping their brains heal and recover. I'm helping through dietary and other lifestyle strategies. I am sometimes, not always, but sometimes helping these people really dramatically improve their lives.
Now, our audience, they really focus on behavioral change. That's a big part of our message. You know, a lot of people like to learn a lot or read a book, but they're not making changes. They have an idea in their mind that they want to start something brand new. But let's talk about maybe the challenges in adoption. Like, do you see certain main barriers maybe you've encountered in integrating dietary and metabolic health strategies into psychiatric care? And so what would like one or two of those challenges be? And then how do you approach to overcome those challenges with clients or patients?
You know, in my mind, actually, the biggest challenge right now for most people is that if they talk to their mental health provider and say, could changing my diet improve my ADHD? Or could it improve my depression or my anxiety or my OCD? Unfortunately, most mental health professionals today will tell you, no way. Wherever you heard that from, that's quackery. Don't listen to that. It's worthless. So the biggest challenge that I have is trying to convince people to take this seriously. Hmm. That no, I'm actually really serious that what you put in your mouth is going to affect your digestive tract, and that can travel up to your brain and it can affect your brain. So the first step is getting buy-in that this is actually something worth doing, and it really has a potential reward for you. When people suffer from mental health conditions, they want nothing more than to feel better. They want nothing more than to just be normal, to be happy, to have their brain firing on all cylinders. But if they're being told that they have chemical imbalances and they need pills to correct those chemical imbalances, why change your diet? Why go through the trouble? Why exercise? That's not addressing a chemical imbalance. And what I'm here to tell you is that the science is overwhelmingly clear. What we eat, whether we sleep, our exercise levels, and other lifestyle strategies play a profound role in our brain metabolism and the brain chemicals or neurotransmitters in our brains. There is no way around it. So that's the first step, is getting buy-in, convincing people this is something worth trying. Usually I make it time limited. I let people know I'm looking for 3 months. 3 month commitment, and we're gonna see if it works for you or not. We're not gonna do it indefinitely. I'm not going to keep leading you on. I'm not going to make you do something that you don't really want to do if it's not benefiting you. So 3 month commitment. And then the biggest thing is creating SMART goals. So make them specific, measurable, you know, all of those things that go into concrete, doable, achievable, time limited, very specific. We're going to measure an outcome. What I have found over and over again, because one of the biggest questions that I get from mental health providers and even patients and family members is, how on earth do you get seriously ill people, people with really crippling mental illnesses, how do you get them to do a diet or a lifestyle plan and stick with it? And what I'm here to say is, please don't underestimate those people. They are desperate. They are desperate to feel better. Don't underestimate them. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's give them support and education and actionable information to allow them, to empower them to take control of their health,
And your book is full of small, little, simple steps where people could have those wins and move them in a right direction. And one step in another direction could completely change your destination, you know, because you tried everything. There's a learned helplessness, right? Or that patient comes to that determination themselves because they tried everything and they've learned that they're helpless. And maybe you could explain, you mentioned in the book, what learned helplessness theory is, just so we could just reinforce that with our listeners, that, the mindset does play a role in our own healing.
Are you a high achiever constantly seeking that next level of success? Welcome to the Quick Success Program. It's a deep dive and support system to master your life and scale to new heights in personal and professional achievement. Included is our exclusive monthly book club, where we process transformative ideas from amazing books to level up your learning and your life. We also bring the author to the club to answer your burning questions. You could also participate in monthly live coaching calls with me, where your questions meet my decades of expertise. Simply go to quicksuccess.com, that's K-W-I-K success.com, and choose the plan that works best for you.
It absolutely does. And there's no way around it. I think humans and even other animals are programmed for learned helplessness. That if we try something over and over again and fail to succeed or fail to get results, or if somebody is tormenting us, let's say you're in an environment where there's abuse or trauma happening, you could be in one of the war zones throughout the world today, and there's not much you as an individual can do. Sometimes people can learn helplessness. They can feel like I'm powerless. There's nothing I can do about it. And it is natural to start to feel depressed and demoralized. And unfortunately, it's natural to, at some point, potentially start to give up. So I think the first step in addressing it is really just recognizing that's what's happening to me. I'm giving up. And this is where the other strategies that you just discussed and that we've talked about already, having hope, recognizing that this is the place I'm stuck in right now. And I can kind of, even if you can just pull yourself out of that position for 15 seconds and recognize to yourself, I'm in a really bad place for good reason. My life is not going well. And there are a lot of things that I can't easily control or stop. I can't stop the war. And that has me giving up and that has me hopeless. I think the next step for a lot of people is to recognize that position that you've just adopted, this learned helplessness or this hopeless, this passive position, is actually only making your life worse. It's not enhancing your life. It's actually making it worse. And now you're not even doing basic self-care and you've given up trying. So then the next step is hope, like we talked about. Find some hope. Somehow, some way, find some hope. Find a reason to fight. Find a reason to live. And sometimes when people, you know, talk to me, they're like, but you don't know how bad my life is. You just don't know. How dare you say that? You're a Harvard psychiatrist. You must just have a really perfect life. The real answer is I haven't, but I'm not going to use myself as the model. I'm going to use a guy named Viktor Frankl as the model. He was in a Holocaust. He was in a Holocaust camp. He had all reason to believe that he was going to be killed. He had seen friends and family members slaughtered in front of him. And he and some of the other prisoners were able to figure out a path of hope, a path of meaning and purpose, that no matter how bad these people are that are tormenting us, we are better than this. And we have a purpose. We have a reason to be alive. He had a reason to stay alive. Yeah. And that, just that alone, he argued, was what helped him get through. So if he can do it, we can do it. And at the end of the day, it is about that passion, not the rational thought, but the thing you feel, the thing that burns inside of you, the thing that you are like, yes, this is real. I've got to fight for this. If you can cling to that and hold on to that, or just remember that, that can set you on your journey to get out of the place you're in.
Yeah. Wonderful book to everybody. Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. We'll put it in the show notes as we always do at jimquick.com/notes. Dr. Christopher Palmer, I want to thank you for your work and your mission to help helping so many people in the world. I think you change your brain, you change your life, you change your brain. We could change the world. Where can people get their copy of Brain Energy?
So you can definitely get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other, even some local bookstores can have it. If you go to brainenergy.com, you can sign up for our newsletter, get more information. There's a lot of learning and education articles and other things on there. So
wonderful. And people can find you on social media as well?
They can. I'm active on Instagram and Threads and X now.
Dr. Chris Palmer, thank you so much for being on the Quick Brain Podcast.
Jim, thank you so much for having me.
I want to thank all our listeners from around the world. Thank you, wherever you're consuming this. One of the best ways of doing it is on YouTube. Join our approaching 1.5 million subscribers there, where we put the extended version of our show. Make sure you leave a ratings and review and share your stories, because your stories are what inspire other people to make that positive change for their life. Until our next episode, this is Jim Quick. Be limitless.